Hello again, and welcome to the Shellac Stack. My name is Brian Wright, your host for this little musical variety hour featuring 78 RPM records from the first half of the 20th century. This past week, I was looking over some photographs and home movies from a visit I made a few years ago to London, England, recalling good times at the British Museum, Westminster Abbey, the Tower of London, the Jack the Ripper tour that I took, visits with friends who live in and around London, and all of this got me thinking that it might be fun to somehow salute London on today's Shellac Stack program. And there's a couple of ways I could do this. I could pull out records issued on the London label, or I could play songs having something to do with London or written by British songwriters, but I guess I opted for the easy route, which is just to pull out records that were made in London in the 1920s, 30s, and on into the 1940s. Now, it wasn't too long ago here on the Shellac Stack that I put together a program featuring exclusively British dance bands of the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And while we will hear a few dance bands on today's program, we're going to cast the net stylistically a little bit more widely this time. We'll be hearing everything from piano solos to vaudeville comedians to organ solos to, well, even a pantomime skit before the program is over. But we're going to start with a record that, even if it's not fantastically rare, is at least quite unusual. This was recorded in London, November 24th, 1926, by telephone relay from St. Margaret's Church, Westminster, in London. The organist is Stanley Roper, but you'll also hear actual sounds of Big Ben, street traffic, the St. Margaret's chimes, and then Stanley Roper will play the Old 100th. The record is called Impressions of London, and it's the perfect way to start off this little tribute to London. Here's Stanley Roper. Thank you. there you have a recording called Impressions of London, Westminster. The label credit goes to organist Stanley Roper. That was issued on the Victor label number 20629, recorded by HMV over in London on November 24th, 1926. And I'm curious as to how that record was made back in 1926. Techniques for editing, dubbing, and combining multiple recordings onto a single disc were fairly crude, and it wasn't often done. That's not to say it wasn't done. I have a couple of American recordings from the following year, such as the Charles A. Lindbergh reception disc that was cobbled together from multiple different recordings combined onto a single 10-inch 78. So they could have done that, and I wonder if they did. Or did they try to do this all in one straight take, somehow managing to get Big Ben, street noises, the chimes of St. Margaret's Church, and the organ all in one straight pass? I don't know. Interesting. Well, we'll continue now with a recording on the Columbia label made in London in July of 1929. This is the St. George's Singers under the direction of the Reverend Dr. E. H. Fellows. We'll hear two English madrigals on this side. First, one by Orlando Gibbons, who was a contemporary of Shakespeare. He was born in Oxford in December of 1583, and as a youth, he sang in the choir of King's College, Cambridge. Later, he became organist at Westminster Abbey in London. He died, unfortunately, quite young, at the age of 41 in 1625, seemingly of the plague. But he had left some notable compositions, including the one we'll hear here, called The Silver Swan. It was published as part of a collection of madrigals in the year 1612. After that, we'll hear one by John Farmer, another madrigal called Fair Phyllis. So a pair of English madrigals of the early 17th century, starting with Orlando Gibbons' The Silver Swan. Here are the St. George's Singers. We started that little coupling with the St. George's Singers, a recording made in London in July 1929 featuring a pair of Old English madrigals from the early 1600s. It included Orlando Gibbon's The Silver Swan and John Farmer's Fair Phyllis. That was Columbia 5717. After that, we heard the band of His Majesty's Irish Guards under the direction of Captain Hassel, Bells Across the Meadow, a selection by the British composer Albert Kettelby. That was an Imperial record, 1952, recorded in London in February 1928. Kind of a crude-sounding record. I heard some weird little noises that I'm sure are inherent in the master recording. A little, shorts in the circuitry or something. But an interesting record nonetheless. In case you're just joining us, my name is Brian Wright. This is the Shellac Stack. On today's program, featuring recordings made in London from the 1920s to the 1940s. We're going to continue now with a record of I Want to Be Happy, that great Caesar and Eumanns song that came from No No Nanette. This was recorded in London March 18, 1925, among the last acoustic Columbia recordings made over in London. The vocalists are Benny Hale and Joseph Coyne, along with the Palace Theatre Orchestra under the direction of Percival Mackey. This is Columbia 3630. Benny Hale sounds great. Joseph Coyne, I can't quite figure out if he's just having a really rough day or if he means for his voice to break as much as it does. You'll hear what I mean. He seems to be having a rather tough go of it. In any case, it's an enjoyable record. We'll follow that with one from British pianist Harold Willoughby, another Columbia record made a couple years earlier in January 1923, a Zez Confrey piano novelty called You Tell 'Em Ivories, Columbia 3219. But let's start now with Benny Hale and Joseph Coyne. Here's I Want to Be Happy.
I'm a very ordinary man, trying to work out life's happy plan, doing unto others as I'd like to have them doing unto me. When I find a very lonely soul, to be kind becomes my only goal. I feel so much better when I tell them my philosophy. I want to be happy, but I won't be happy till I make you happy too. Life's really worth living when we are mirth giving. Why can't I give some to you? When skies are gray and you say you are blue, I'll send the sun smiling through. I want to be happy, but I won't be happy till I make you happy too.
I have never known such sympathy. Only in my dreams it always seems to me too good to be true. There are smiling faces everywhere. Surely I deserve my little share. I'm a lucky girl, but oh, but I can get it all from you. Why can't I give?
Harold Willoughby. He sounds like he's trying to play with mittens on his hands. He's kind of stumbling around to hit the right notes and even struggling with some of the rhythms. That may be unkind of me and maybe a bit too critical, but I've heard much better renditions of Zez Confrey's You Tell 'Em Ivories than this particular record. The other side is another Zez Confrey tune, Coaxing the Piano, and I regret to say I don't think Harold Willoughby fares any better with that one. Perhaps that's why this is his only issued record. Columbia 3219, recorded in London in January of 1923. Before that, we heard from Benny Hale and Joseph Coyne, another guy who seemed to be having a tough day in the studio, along with the Palace Theater Orchestra, under the direction of Percival Mackey. I Want to Be Happy was the tune, recorded in March of 1925. And yes, I want to be happy. I want you to be happy. I hope you're enjoying the program. If you are and you'd like to send me an email, my address is shellacstack@gmail.com. Again, that's shellacstack@gmail.com. You can write to me with your comments, questions, suggestions, or requests. And if you're enjoying the program, maybe you might take a moment to drop a line to a friend or two, let them know about the show so they can tune in and listen as well. And I thank you. Let's continue now with a couple of small records. These are little 8-inch mini discs, so to speak, on the Broadcast label. These were quite common in England in the late 20s and early 1930s, sort of a budget record. There were efforts to bring 8-inch records to the American market in the early 30s, most notably by RCA Victor, which tried to market Electrodisc and Bluebird records in the 8-inch format. But it didn't take off, didn't go anywhere, and they abandoned that pretty quick. And those American 8-inch records are quite rare today, but the British ones turn up quite often. So I've got a pair, as I said, on the Broadcast label. First up is Broadcast 399, a comedian named Mabel Marx, about whom I couldn't find too much. She seems to have been on the radio quite a bit in England in the late 20s and early 30s, and was quite highly regarded, it seems. The reviewers often wrote very glowingly of her. This is a recording she made in London in May of 1929. It's a fun song called Tell Me More About Love. After that, we'll hear Victor Vorzanger's famous dance band, Broadcast 167, recorded in London October 4th, 1927. Great rendition of Crazy Words, Crazy Tune. So, a couple of little 8-inch records now, starting with Mabel Marx, Tell Me More About Love.
Jean was bashful, Jean was shy, Jean was kind of nervous, and this is why love had never come his way. But now he started, oh, he can't stop, every night until 12 o'clock, with a new girl, this is what he'll say.
Oh, ain't it nice? Ain't it grand? Sit by me, hold my hand, and tell me more about love.
I don't know what to do, but I guess I could learn an awful lot from you. So tell me more about love. I know I'm innocent, but still, I'm willing. I know I've got a lot to learn. Oh, ain't love thrilling? Dim the light, hold me tight, you can turn it out if you like. Oh, but tell me some more about love. Once I never had been kissed, but now I know how much I've missed. Well, I intend to have my full share, yes I do. So when I bring someone home, just as soon as we're all alone, I say to him as we're sitting there,
hey, John Henry, I say, I feel fed up the pole today. Since you've been telling me all about that there love, you are the one.
What's that you say? You wouldn't dare? You think I'd mind?
Hey, I wouldn't care. Come on now, tell me some more about that there love. Don't keep mucking about. I know I'm innocent, but still, I'm willing, notwithstanding. I know I got a lot to learn. Oh, ain't love thrilling? Give me a little kiss, I wish you would. It wouldn't do you any harm, only to do me a world of good. Come on now, tell us a bit more about love.
I may be innocent, but still I'm willing.
learn. Oh, ain't love thrilling?
Hold me firm, just like a vice. Bang, there goes mother's good advice. Now I know all about love.
From 1927, Crazy Words, Crazy Tune. That was Victor Vortzanger's famous dance band with an as-yet unidentified vocalist. Before that, Mabel Marx in 1929, Tell Me More About Love. Both of those come from little 8-inch broadcast label 78s. Although they were smaller than the standard 10-inch records of the day, they still managed to fit about 3 minutes of music per side. I think they were able to achieve this by recording at a slightly lower volume, maybe rolling off some of the bass, so that the groove doesn't wiggle quite as much and they can pack it in more tightly against itself over the surface of a record and gain those extra precious seconds or even minutes. Still, I think the sound is pretty good, and it's a shame, I think, that this little 8-inch format didn't catch on over here in the United States. I imagine a 78 collection with a lot of 8-inch records would be a lot smaller and more compact, also be a lot more lightweight. Besides, they're just cute. No other way to put it. They're fun to look at and fun to play. I like finding those. Well, let's continue now with a pair of Columbia records. This makes up a little set, a little four-part set. This is the Columbia Pantomime Company, a recording made in London in October of 1949. The pantomime is a type of musical comedy stage production designed for family entertainment. It was developed in England several centuries ago, refined through the years, and became especially popular in the late 19th and early 20th century, especially around Christmas and New Year's. Pantomimes typically include songs, gags, slapstick comedy, some dancing, maybe even some gender-crossing roles. In this particular production, we'll hear some of that, we'll hear some of the comedy, but we'll hear a number of songs, and these are really just pop songs of the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, that don't really seem to have much place in the storyline. They're just seemingly thrown in haphazardly. If this were a live stage show, the audience would be encouraged to sing along with the songs or shout things back to the actors as they're telling this story on stage. Pantomimes are usually based on folk tales or fairy tales, and that's certainly going to be the case here. This is the story of Aladdin. Jesse Matthews will star in the title role as Aladdin, but if you're only familiar with the story from the Walt Disney version in the early 90s, you may be in for a surprise. For one thing, this version of Aladdin, the more traditional version, is, well, it takes place in Peking, China, not in the Middle East, as we're accustomed to perhaps seeing or hearing it. There's other differences, but I'll leave those for you to discover. For now, let's just settle back, relax, and enjoy the Columbia Pantomime Company's production of Aladdin from 1949. This runs about 14 minutes. We'll be back with more music after this.
Make way! Make way for the Princess Ming Toy!
Aladdin! Aladdin! Come in at once! You'll be getting into trouble. What do you think you're doing?
All right, Mother. I'm coming.
You promised to help Mrs. Washy in the laundry. Things seem to be getting worse every day. Only yesterday you scorched the tail of the Emperor's best shirt.
Yes, and now you're trying to get your head cut off gaping at the Princess.
Oh, Mrs. Washy, they say she's the most beautiful girl in Peking.
The Princess is coming this way.
Oh, Mother, look. There's someone annoying her. He's trying to kiss her.
Kiss her? Where, Aladdin?
On the drawbridge.
That's a funny one.
Mother, I can't stand it any longer. I'm going to her rescue.
Aladdin, come back. Don't be so reckless.
Just like his poor father. So headstrong.
Princess, can I be of some assistance? My name is Aladdin. I'm Widow Twankey's son. This man seems to be annoying you.
Oh, thank you, Aladdin. It's only Pico, the Grand Vizier's son.
Is it true, Princess, that you're going to marry Pico?
I don't know, Aladdin. I can't make up my mind.
I made up my mind, Princess, the moment I saw you. I said, you may not be an angel, 'cause angels are so few. But until the day that one comes along, I'll string along with you. I'm looking for an angel to sing my love song to. And until the day that one comes along, I'll sing my song to you.
For every little bird that you have, say I've got three or four. The human little faults you do have just make me love you more.
You may not be an angel, but still I'm sure you'll do.
So until the day that one comes along, I'll string along with you.
Aladdin! Aladdin!
Oh, all right, Mother, I'm coming.
Aladdin, do hurry up. I've got a wonderful bit of news for you.
Who's the strange man, Mother?
Well, he's the bit of news.
Yes, my boy, I'm your long-lost Uncle Ebenezer. I've been searching for you for years, and now that I've found you, your fortune's made. If only you will be reasonable.
Uncle, my one ambition is to make a fortune quickly so that I can marry my princess.
Don't talk rubbish, Aladdin.
You marry the princess?
Yes, and so you shall, if you do exactly as I tell you. Now, Aladdin, listen carefully. On the outskirts of the town, there is a secret cave. Once inside the cave, there is a magic lamp that you must get.
Oh, Uncle, let's start at once.
That's the right spirit, my boy. Only get the lamp. Then you can marry your princess.
Come on, Uncle, we're wasting time.
You're right, Aladdin. We must make a start.
It's grown very cold and dark. Uncle Ebenezer, I feel frightened.
Abracadabra, riddle me reed. Oh, magic cave, now open for me.
Oh!
Come on, Aladdin. Down the steps into the cave, and high up on the rocky walls you will see the lamp burning. Oh. Get it and bring it to me. Whatever happens, don't come without it.
Must I go alone, Uncle? Aren't you coming with me?
No, Aladdin, you must go alone. Take this magic ring. It will keep you from all harm. Go!
For the sake of my princess, I will. Oh, how dark it is. Ah, that must be the old lamp Uncle made so much fuss about. I must pull myself together. I've got to get that lamp. Oh, there it is. Won't Uncle be pleased? And now to get out. Uncle? Uncle? Are you there?
Yes, Aladdin. Have you got the lamp?
Yes, Uncle. But help me out first.
No, not until you hand me the lamp. I want to have a look at it.
Oh, but I want to get out first.
You ungrateful boy. You defy me? Then stay in the cave and die.
Oh, you can have your rotten old lamp. Oh, whatever shall I do? I shall never see my princess again. I expect she'll marry Pico and forget all about me. I wonder who's kissing her now. I wonder who's teaching her how. I wonder who's gazing into her eyes, sighing sighs, telling lies. I wonder if she's got a boy, the girl who once filled me with joy. I wonder if she ever tells him of me. Ebenezer gave me. I think I'll give it a rub on my sleeve.
What do you wish, master?
Who are you? I don't understand.
You rubbed the ring and summoned me. I am the slave of the ring and must obey your order.
All right, then. Get me out of this horrible cave and back to Widow Twankey's laundry.
Master, it shall be done.
My poor Aladdin. I wonder what can have happened to him.
I must say, I didn't like the look of that Ebenezer at all. And I shouldn't be surprised if...
Come in. Oh, it's you, Princess.
Oh, Mrs. Twankey, I'm so worried. Have you heard any news of Aladdin? I've made up my mind. I'm going to marry him because I love him more than anybody else in the world.
But whatever will the Emperor say?
Don't you worry. I can get round Father. I must get back to the palace. Goodbye.
Poor Aladdin, something tells me I shall never see you again.
Then something tells me you're wrong, Mother. Uncle Ebenezer got into a terrible rage because I wouldn't give him the lamp and shut me up in the cave.
There, what did I tell you?
What about something to eat, Mother? I'm terribly hungry.
I'm sorry, Aladdin, but there's not a bite in the place.
Never mind, Mother. Oh, I'd quite forgotten. We can sell this old lamp that all the fuss was about and buy some food.
What a clever boy you are. Give it to me. We'll clean it.
Yes, what it wants is a jolly good rub. Oh! Oh! Oh, dear! Oh, look, he's worse than that Ebenezer.
Who are you and what do you want?
I am the slave of the lamp. I'm here to obey your command.
Oh, then bring me jewels fit for a princess, clothes for my mother and self, then to the palace to see the emperor.
Master, I go to carry out your wishes.
At last, all my dreams are coming true.
Oh, Aladdin, look at my dress. I looked in the glass and didn't know myself. I'm all shivery at the idea of going to the palace. How do I look, Mrs. Washy?
Wonderful. But you can't go to the palace like that, Liza Twankey. You don't want everyone to stare at you. There's something missing.
Aladdin, call back that genie. I've got to have one more wish, and he can make it my Christmas present if he likes.
Yes. All he wants for Christmas is his two front teeth.
Me two front teeth?
Yes, his two front teeth.
Gee, if I could only have me two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas. It seems so long since I could say a sister to the sitting on the fifth. Oh,
gosh, oh gee, how happy I'd be if you could only whistle.
All I want for Christmas is me two front teeth.
Your two front teeth?
Yes, me two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have me two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
Make way for the Emperor! Clear the way for the Emperor!
Who is this magnificent stranger who craves an audience? And what's this I hear? You wish to marry the Princess Ming Toy?
This is Aladdin, Father. I love him.
Young man, can you support my daughter? And where do you propose to live?
Give me until tomorrow, sire, and I will have a palace worthy of the princess.
Oh, this is wonderful. Let the wedding bells ring, and may you both live happily ever afterwards.
Yes, if only Uncle Ebenezer doesn't appear on the scene, and I can keep my wonderful lamp.
New lamps for old. New lamps for old.
Ah, very soon, Aladdin, your princess and your palace shall be mine.
Really mean you will exchange any old lamp for a new one?
Certainly, Princess. Have you got one to exchange?
I'm afraid it's very old and dirty.
Aladdin's lamp. Give it to me quickly. Now we shall see.
Genie, transport the princess and the palace just as it stands to Africa.
Where is this palace of yours, Aladdin? And where is my daughter?
Your Majesty, I can't understand it. My palace of dreams has vanished.
I don't see how a palace could disappear. And what about my daughter?
Ebenezer the magician must have stolen my magic lamp.
Keep calm, Aladdin. We must think of a plan to get it back.
The ring. The very thing. I'll rub it again.
Master, I am here to obey.
My palace and my princess have vanished. Do you know where they are?
Yes, Master. They're being transported to Africa.
Then take us there at once.
At once, Master.
Oh, what a desolate place.
Yes, all sand, no green trees or birds and their song.
I bless the day when I was born. I bless the day my childish eye discovered beauty in a tree. A sunlit sea, a starry sky. I bless the day not long ago that brought the dawn of love in view. And now, as long as life is mine, I bless the
my fault. Ebenezer tricked me and I exchanged your old lamp for a new one. Never mind, Princess. We must get the lamp back. Where is Ebenezer? He's asleep in the palace. I'll tiptoe and get the lamp.
When we are safely at home again, we shall know how to deal with this rascal.
I've got it. Here is your lamp, Aladdin. And now to test the magic spell.
Master, you summon me!
Yes. Transport us and the palace back at once to Pekin.
And now we'll think out a fitting punishment for that culprit who caused all this trouble.
Let me marry him. Then we can keep the lamp in the family.
All's well that ends well.
We ride and proud and proud and proud. A sun is shining for you. We all have troubles more or less. Till that world of happiness behind.
Comprising a total of four 10-inch 78 RPM sides, That's the Columbia Pantomime Company's production of Aladdin, starring Jesse Matthews in the title role, recorded October 31st, 1949. The whole production was put together by Billy Gray. Back to some music now, and we'll start with one from the American duet team of Leighton and Johnstone. This is Turner Leighton and Clarence Johnstone. They never made much of an impact here in the United States, but they were wildly popular in England in the mid to late 1920s and on into the early 1930s. We'll hear them sing a Walter Donaldson song called Hello Gorgeous, Columbia DB-926, recorded in London in September of 1932. Then, from the following September, 1933, we'll hear Sidney Torch at the organ play a medley called Hotter Than Ever. This is part two, and it will include It Don't Mean a Thing, If It Ain't Got That Swing, The St. Louis Blues, and Sentimental Gentleman from Georgia, Columbia DB-1210. First up, here's Leighton and Johnstone, Hello Gorgeous.
Hello Gorgeous, how do you do? You're so gorgeous. You need a secretary, sweet and gorgeous. You're just a gorgeous name. Paint and powder, powder and paint. A little lipstick, it is necessary, sweet and gorgeous. You're just a gorgeous thing. When I got one glance at you, strolling down the avenue, there was nothing else to do but just go crazy. There's no flower sweeter than you. Red, red roses are only secondary, sweet and gorgeous. You're just a gorgeous thing. This is what I call a perfect day. And look who's standing across the way. The sweetest baby, the finest 5'3". I'd like to meet her this very day. I've got to meet her and right away. I've got to introduce myself and see what she's got to say. Hello, gorgeous, how do you do? You're so gorgeous. You need a secretary, sweet and gorgeous. You're just a gorgeous thing. Paint and powder, powder and paint. A little lipstick, it is necessary, sweet and gorgeous. You're just a gorgeous thing. When I got one glance at you, strolling down the avenue, there was nothing else to do but just go crazy. There's no flower sweeter than you. Red, red roses are only secondary, sweet and gorgeous. You're just a gorgeous thing. Hello, gorgeous, how do you do? You're so gorgeous, you need a secretary, sweet and gorgeous. You're just a gorgeous thing. Paint and powder, powder and paint. A little lipstick, it is necessary, sweet and gorgeous. You're just a gorgeous thing. When I got one glance at you, strolling down the avenue, there was nothing else to do but just go crazy. There's no flower sweeter than you. Red, red roses are only secondary, sweet and gorgeous. You're just a gorgeous thing. Thank you.
not indeed. I wish there were more theater organ records like that one. Sidney Torch and the medley Hotter Than Ever, Part 2, from 1933. Before that, Turner Layton and Clarence Johnstone with Hello, Gorgeous, from September of 1932. We'll wrap up the program now with the flip side of the record with which we started it. From November 24th, 1926, recorded at St. Margaret's Church, Westminster, and London, we'll finish our little tribute to London with St. Margaret's Chimes in Westminster, featuring the tune O God, Our Help in Ages Past. Once more, here's Stanley Roper. With St. Margaret's Chimes in Westminster. Once again, that's all there is on this edition of the Shellac Stack. I'm Brian Wright. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to these records with me. I hope you enjoyed our little excursion to London, and I hope we'll see you back here next time for more 78s on the Shellac Stack. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.